interrupting the current neo-Euchronial, climate change, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, alien-invaded, nuclear-glowing, postulated cricketism, to bring you behind the woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting Episode BTWRLM550. Before I forget, I'm going to have to put out a notice here for everybody. The BTW on RLM may be ending. We're not quite sure. I'm not getting much feedback on the problem with RLM and RLM website. It could be a serious problem, and it may not be. But it looks like there's a possibility that Behind the Woodshed will not be on the Real Liberty Media Network, as the website's having some severe troubles. So I'm putting this out just quickly. I don't have the answer yet on a lot of things. It could very well be fixable. But it may mean that you cannot find me at the website, because it will not be functioning for the backside of it to put the files up. That said, I may have to go to BitChute or find another way to do this same thing. It won't not be the same, except that you'll get the file maybe through the X, go there, and I'll post where it is. Or you can send me an email as you can find around. Mark on the beast at ProtonMail and see what happens, if you can get to me there if you have a loss. I don't know what more to say yet. I'm not sure why we're not having very much communication going on to figure out how to do this, but it's possible that this may be ended. The BTW as we have known it on RLM may not be existing very much longer. That's not my choice, and we'll be working hard to not let that happen, but there is a reality, and I want people to know ahead of time, not like it could have been here this week, that maybe the file doesn't go up. As it is, it may not be broadcast on RLM anyway, but you'll find it over again at BitChute or where you will. Sound Minds, go look up the Sound Minds accounts on Rumble and the weekly news that he has over there and Odyssey and things like that, and we're going to try to work that out as he syndicates. I have to figure out a way to get him the file as well, if that starts to be the case. So let's move into the news, and which is the notice, folks. They've been telling us what's going on. It's not a secret. And I just give you the surface of it all. There's so much behind this underneath. Not the news. It's what this stuff we're seeing in the news is telling us in principle relative to our lives, where we live. This is a global phenomenon, what's going on. Whether or not we see it as the sustainability thing, whether we see it as geopolitics, whether we see it as a bunch of people in government that just take advantage, and the people of the country won't or can't stop it. And this is an ongoing consideration in the world. Governments kill people. There's an evil in the world anymore. Anybody who can't see that it's evil, what's going on I don't know. I don't know about you. This should be pretty simple. And it's not just about pointing it out. What are you going to do when it comes to your house? It's already here, but you don't see it. But what are you going to do when they come at you? Kobe Swindle gave us a big opportunity to see it, and there's not very many people I hear that are onto the real idea of what has to happen, and partly what has to happen. I don't know the full answer. Each one of us has to come to terms with what is to be done. I've explained how that's supposed to work. You don't rewrite, make a new plan. You follow the one that's existing. The world, the evil in the world, uses that plan. You can too, but for good, at least to protect you. And so I can't say much because people think that's the answer and they get hurt. That's what my problem was, why I even got to doing all this. Looked and saw people who earnestly wanted to make changes a whole lot more than today. Actually tried to do stuff. Got in trouble trying to do it. And watching all those failures, it started to tell me there was an underlying problem. One of the problems is, first of all, people try to write their own ticket, and you can't. Secondly, you are up against a corruption, and you have to have techniques to make it so difficult. Essentially, put the embarrassment on the other side where it affects you, where they try to attack you with it. The embarrassment is such, and there's enough people looking on that you can be protected in what you do. Why I say it takes mutual help. You do it singular. You start with yourself. You set the example for you, and you show other people how to go learn what they need to learn, and they pick it up, and they can mimic what you did if you did it right. I'm not saying that you experiment. There's lots of ways not to have to experiment. And so I want to get that out. The last thing I might say here, to be more people may hear, And why I'm saying it that way is because when I came from Oracle Broadcasting, that website was shut down. The listenership did not follow. It did not follow along back to where I moved to our Real Liberty Media. I couldn't do a 5-day-a-week broadcast. That's what that's what Republic Broadcasting wanted me to do. Stadtmiller wanted me to do that. I thought I wanted to, but I told him, I'm going to be honest, I had to commit to that and I wasn't able to. It was the right decision. But I know right now we go to something new and the listenership will be just a handful that is really dedicated. That small band of people that are really interested in understanding. And I hope going the next step, you understand to start looking and seeing what I'm saying is out there to go find for you and then apply that to for your problem potentially or prepare for a problem as we watch. It's coming home in a big way. It has been. But the evil in the world, the demons are running amok, it seems. And I've been talking to a few people. The world's getting kind of crazy. People are getting nuts. They're getting crazy. The nuts and crazy things are starting to come out of people. My whole life, this whole year has been terrible relative to that for me. And as I see this RLM thing, I hope we don't end that. This has a big promise if we can band together and do it. But I'm watching everything that I've worked on in 15 years come to an end in 2023. That's the troubles I'm in right now. That's the trying to get the mining claim sold, trying to, you know, now fielding a problem with the trying to keep the broadcast on a place to have y'all come to it. That's pretty simple for everybody. And to continue, that's been a real work. And I guess it's going to get tougher. So we'll see what happens. Let's get on to the notice here. As we were talking last week, moving on into this story, I hope we can get from it pretty quick. That's the notice that's given to us out of the Zionists. If we look at the history behind it, it's a whole lot of terrible things that were done to people by people who thought they had the right to do so. The king, his majesty of Britain, the United States helping out, making the world recognizing a state. It's not really not a state. After they injected into a people's land. And for those of us in America, I hope you listen to what I'm saying. If this government of the United States allows that over someone else's property, and I might say this again as I go through this, what rights do you think you have in your property? Is that point already that they say you won't have property and like it? Now, there's a different reason for that, that you can tie into that works for you, not against you. And that's a lot of people, they're not actually doing the research to find this out. There's a secret. It's an open secret if you know where to go look. I don't get into discussing that because people get in trouble. But getting over to, you can have not have property and like it, but there's a way in the United States, and I talk about property and titles and patents, there's a reason for that. And that's where you start to watch the glimpse of how you're supposed to do it. I talk about the Russian dolls. We all complain, I would say we all, and it's a conjectural statement, we all complain about the big boys getting away with all this stuff, not paying taxes. I've told you, follow their lead. Don't do what they do, follow their lead. And there's a different way that you position yourself. But you start with yourself. And so we're up against this world that's going nuts. It's exposing itself in the most horrid ways. People don't like it, and I'm glad to see that, but we look and we see people are typically powerless, yet they have all the power. And so these anomalies are something that already fascinated me that I talk about, and I show where I can, who I can, to whom I can, those things that should get you the pathway to start setting up what you need to do as this thing rolls downhill and in a bad way and an accelerated way. So let me again get over to here. U.S. fires self-defense strikes in Syria after repeat attacks against American troops. And I want to piggyback on last week. I was talking about even Russia's telling international law. And I don't want to get too lost in international law. It's not the thing you want to follow. It's an international norms that most countries follow so that there's some way to gauge what's objective. It's the objective basis I talked to you about. I'm not promoting international law. I'm showing you it's there. It's recognizable. It's being used. And we as people have to step back. None of that's for people. But the principles go right through to the locals. As I told you, there's a court case in Kansas, maybe Colorado, I think it was, in 1907. I think that's, it just came to me, I think that's it. Kansas versus Colorado, 1907, I think in there it says international law is always working. And this is the United States Supreme Court talking about that within the context of the country, of the America, of the United States. So these things I'm talking about are principles. I'm not saying that you're going to necessarily put them on as a shield and be protected. Understand how the world is working, then you'll be able to turn around in your local locale where you are and probably, hopefully, reading enough of the even the statute that everybody wants to condemn, these statutes and codes, as I've said before, code plea. Don't make it up. Go right to what the occupier is going to have to review, because the people that are taking advantage through those possibilities. So the United States is violating those principles while it's saying it's doing things, and I want to keep highlighting this. As I said, and then Russia points it out, and another country points it out, an occupying power, is not have a right of self-defense. You're just an interloper. You're a trespasser. You're a criminal in this case. And then when you go further and start killing people, you definitely are. But the United States has problems. And this is all geopolitical. Israel itself is a tool, even though their agents are inside our government to make it even worse. And the people don't say much about it. They think that voting is going to change all this as well. Don't even know the first thing about the status that subsumes them into commerce and puts everything on a commerce taint that's subject through the organic documents to have no power whatsoever. No one really pays attention to this. I say no one with quotes, because some of us have researched this and we have an idea. It's going to take a lot more. But U.S. Fires in self-defense strikes in Syria after repeat attacks against American troops. I'll repeat it one more time. What am I saying? First, they say self-defense. We'll read here, the United States carried out military strikes in Syria in response to repeated attacks against U.S. forces stationed in Iraq and Syria. And as it was announced late Wednesday, a wet release issued by the United States Department of Defense detailed the strike, quote, was conducted by two U.S. F-15s against a weapons storage facility. The strikes also come as the Syrian government has repeatedly called for an end to the illegal American presence in the country, a call that has continued to be flouted by the United States and prompted Syria to accuse the United States of systematic looting of its resources. Similar calls from the Iraqi government have also been ignored by the U.S. So where haven't we just heard the very same criminal self-defense rationale from the Zionists? It's identical. They say they have the right of self-defense, but look at what the United States, where it's at. Repeat after me, folks. Being a criminal trespasser, a self-inflicting wounder, an occupying force has no right of self-defense. All right? Same plan, same principle applies to the United States. Shamefully so. Embarrassingly so for the people of the United States if they understood what was going on there. So furthermore, those weapons the U.S. destroyed are being used by the landowner there, Syria, and its government and its people, with the help of a willing neighbor to defend itself from other foreign invading occupiers the U.S. and Israel created, aided and abet currently to overthrow their democratically elected government under the cover of imposing democracy. Keep the facts straight of this and you realize that the United States is really a shameful organization, a criminal organization, and they aren't supposed to be there. They're destroying the means of protection of Syria through its neighbors that it allows there. And as an occupying force, it has no right of self-defense. So we're back to that question I entered with. If the United States will trample property rights of a foreign nation, do you think it will respect your private property rights at home, let alone defend as the organically established government is ought to and obligated to do? Most people are not seeing any of it. In fact, I don't even see it, even though I know about it. I do know how I can back off a government agent, an official, to honor what the obligations are when you know where they are. And this is how this thing works. And they've done this on purpose. An occupier does this on purpose. That's an international law principle. And international law does not exist. There's no law. I've talked about this. It's international norms of nations interactions. They're not, and they're all sovereign. So we understand what sovereignty truly is. There's nothing that's imposed upon those sovereigns. It's an agreement to facilitate interaction by these modes, by these norms. And they're there for a time out of mind purpose that has proven themselves to be valid. So that's what Russia relies on. I am not promoting the UN and international law and the international body, and they all follow the UN, the international law. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that's what nations do in interrelational measures. I look through and see the principle and say, if your government's going to violate those property rights in another, what's your guarantee they're not going to violate them in you? And we look around and everyone laughs about they have no property rights. Is that definition? So where the Supreme Court says that international law is working all the time, you know it's being violated by the United States government, every government actually, in particular the United States government, because we do have decent and fair and good reasons to have the property rights we have as obligations of protection against the very government that would otherwise take you out. You don't have this, what we have in America. Well, we don't have it because we're not enforcing our own property rights against the obligation of the government and the official, because this is not a government. These are the men and women that come under the color of official office to do this, have no authority. They're literally committing extortion or coercion, as I've told you how to find those things. So you keep all this track, and the news is the notice. We don't read. We can read through the propaganda. No, there is no right of self-defense in the United States military, and they have no right to attack a neighbor, helping a neighbor to defend itself against the very entities the United States created, along with Israel, to attack them. And the United Nations stays silent on this stuff. So, keep this all straight and you start to see it. For me, it's a totally different picture. I hope you all see, at least my listener, sees how this is actually working out. I'm not getting into arguments over beliefs or patriotism or democracy. If you don't have the substance of your basic law, property laws, you really have nothing. You are property, as I've said before. All these principles keep coming back. And true to form here, as they attack, they keep, the United States is another occupier claiming right of self-defense. They don't have that right. Israel did the same thing, but true to form to these lawless occupiers, they attack the press. Again, this is for, you don't just look at it as, oh, this is the press. The United States has it as the First Amendment right of the press and freedom of expression that's tied in a corollary to each other. This is in military warfare. This is the lines of communication. So these attacks on the press, wherever they are, whether or not you see them in a war front or not, are attacks on your right to know. And for Americans, is that your right to know in order to do your political duty, if you take it on, or the one they purport you have, which has been altered as well, that you have the right to understand this stuff. They want to put a limit on national security and all this other thing. At some point, when they're covering up crime, they don't have that right either. But the press is a very powerful tool for the people to have a knowledge. And true to form about when you see this, you understand what's going on, or more principles are being violated. And we have to start to analyze the people that are supporting an attack that continues to attack the journalists, the press. Not only the press now, if we look at Gaza, we see the Zionistas are attacking entire families that are part of the journalists' family. While the world stands by and gawks, as we read, journalists are intentional targets of IDF airstrikes, the Gaza tragedy behind the camera. At least 46 journalists have been killed in the Gaza Strip, with another 3 still missing, according to local information. Reporters from the Gaza Strip are keeping a list of deceased colleagues, fearing they will, quote, remain in memory only as numbers. This story right here, you just become a number, and that's what the government wants you to do. That's what you watch Russia do, even one-sided. So everyone, all these people that are dying become just a number, and it diminishes them. And this is an interesting principle that wanted to be held by the journalists themselves, because the officials, and honestly, they're being attacked. They are all victims of this attack. They're not paying attention to the people that we're losing that would give us this information. Mahmoud Mazloum shared with Sputnik the story of his murdered colleague, Mohammed Abu Khattab. Quote, my colleague, correspondent of our TV channel, Mohammed Abu Khattab, was killed along with his family members 15 minutes after the end of his live broadcast. He finished his broadcast, entered the house, and the building was hit. He lived near Nasser Hospital in Khan Yunis City. Mohammed Al-Lul, and Nandolu agency cameraman from the Gaza Strip, likewise lost his entire family, including 4 sons, as a matter of the Israeli airstrike on the Maghazi refugee camp in the center of Gaza Strip on the night of November 4th. The Israelis bombed my house, killed my children, my brothers and sisters, as well as my cousins, nephews, and friends, Alul told Sputnik. So again, if the United States will not condemn the Zionistas for creating or even supporting this atrocity, what chance does your right of the press have at home? Does this also explain the criminal treatment of Julian Assange at the instance of the United States being held by His Majesty's court, the enabler of the ostensible occupying, quote, state of Israel? I'm hoping you're looking at the news, this notice that they give us, and putting history together here, as I find it for myself, even after the fact, and say, well, there's something back here I remember in the vague memory of my studies, and you start to see and put together, these same people are in here killing people, killing the messenger, if you will, and for a purpose and a reason, and there's, for them, it's private, it's not right and just. There's no reason to go after people's families. There's no right also, again, of this self-defense that an occupier might have or claim. It doesn't exist. And for that part, I appreciate the Russian ambassador claiming that out. The guy behind the woodshed, I think I was the only one that really talking about it, and they confirmed that, and a professor, remember, came in and confirmed even that and more, because there's even more articles of a construction and convention about this Palestine territory that Israel was supposed to follow if it had legitimacy. None of it. It's none of it. The story you hear about Netanyahu saying in the future what will happen to Gaza and ruling it. That's not what those agreements said. Those agreements said that the Palestinians will be self-determining. And so this is a big violation, and you hear nothing coming out of the international core. You know, again, if these nations, these people that run these nations, will disregard this in the time of troubles that you may come up to and on, and maybe even foisted upon you, how much do you think they're going to honor them for you? And I'm not saying something after the fact. I'm saying this is already happening to you. We just don't see it. We just don't recognize it. It seems like it's out over there. And we talk about the journalists and the attack and the intentional targeting. As journalists are intentional targets, we hear move on not only by the foreign Zionistas, the domestic ones too, as it's in the news as well. U.S. lawmaker demands open probe into CNN, NYT, Reuters for accompanying Hamas on October 7th. Senator Tom Cotton accused four major media outlets and their journalists of taking part in the Hamas attack on Israel on October 7th and demanded U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland to open a national security investigation into them, according to a letter published by the lawmaker on Friday. These individuals almost certainly knew about the attack in advance and even participated by accompanying Hamas terrorists during the attack and filming the heinous acts. Close quote. The letter said, quote, the Department of Justice must immediately open a national security investigation into these four media outlets, the Senator Cotton added. But I'm making this observation. I'm wondering here, but the way, if you think that through and you look at what he's asking and the attack on the journalism and the attack of what he wants to do with the United States press companies whose journalists were apparently working with Hamas, he has no proof of any of that. And you have to consider, how does the press get on each side of a line to tell us the story? And you can go look at Ukraine to see the difficulty in that. When someone comes from the Russian side to try and do reports and press on the Ukrainians, they'll shoot the press. So this is another method of the Zionistas. It's all the same. They're all Nazis, it seems, and we can put a nice little package on their name. But I wonder if this Cotton, it sounds like he's one of those GMO adulterated cottons, isn't he? He certainly needs the representative or resign talk, I think, here, for those of you that are in his district or any of these other folks that won't support the press on either side of an issue. He's breaching his oath to honor the press without bias. Understand that as well. So that he's also, you might want to inform him, he's not the arbiter of what the people know or from whom they would get that information, nor is he to represent the interests of foreign powers, in particular an anti-Semitic occupying power. As Cotton is a national security threat himself. If you want to validly adhere to what the constraints on the government representatives are and how he's violating them. And this is what we say. We have crickets on this. I'm bringing up this. If you have a thing to do and you're politically wired and you can influence the people, you need to get on this guy and everyone else that agrees that the press is a proper target, their families are proper targets, and that somehow they have the right under so-called national security to stop them, to interfere with that press. It doesn't work that way. It's working that way, but it doesn't work that way. Moving into the next story, and another journalist that's been attacked on a different style of war front, but because of a war front where the United States government was found to be doing war crimes, Tucker Carlson visits Julian Assange in prison. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken has shown no signs of relenting in pursuit of the publisher. Recently rejected overtures from Canberra with the explanation that Assange's action had risked very serious harm to our national security for the benefit of our adversaries and put named human resources at grave risk of physical harm, grave risk of detention. And I've said before, it's at risk is not putting them at in danger. And the risk is his made-up idea. But you think after all these years, after the fact, Assange providing evidence of U.S. war crimes and the killing of journalists, Blinken could identify more than mere risks, don't you think? You see, how many years have been passed and that came out and nothing has popped up, nothing of cause and effect relative to the interest that he's talking about. Mere risks here, I don't think, doesn't seem sufficient to provide the U.S. government the standing to have a valid complaint. Even the risk of doing harm by one bearing an arm isn't sufficient to defeat the Second Amendment. Why the First Amendment, folks? We start putting, let these three people talk, and we don't condemn them as the people. They start to encroach upon our abilities, our rights, the things that we need to do. And they're doing it, as I have shown, as a war power for us in the United States. The Civil War really never ended. And I've done all the, I've read the documents to you to show you that. And remember, Lincoln was a lawyer, and that's not a good thing. Now we move on again, as we now see some Congress critters will step up. Certainly not enough. U.S. Congress members call for Biden to drop U.S. extradition requests against Assange. Quote, as members of Congress deeply committed to the principles of free speech and the freedom of the press, we write to strongly encourage your administration to withdraw the United States extradition request currently pending against Australian publisher Julian Assange and halt all prosecutorial proceedings against him as soon as possible. Close quote. This was presented by Stella Assange, his wife, on X. And I want to make a note here, if you look at what's going on, only 16 of 535 Congress critters show the bulk of Congress does not represent the people nor their constitutional reservations. You should be not too, if you're a voter, think about the government at all. If you're interested in these debates and all this other stuff, you are into that system and you are going to be affected directly by what you think is going on. We'll all be affected. But you have the standing to go in and say, if you're going to be a representative, how about if you represent that oath? And here's where you failed. And you need to sign on to this and get this publisher out of here, out of this court under the color of some sort of an espionage. And you can become one of those people, a bunch of you hopefully, that becomes part of this sound of noise that comes up that threatens these critters to either do their job, do their oath, or get out of the business. Because they're just getting rich on this too. Remember, they're just taking advantage. We're seeing all that. Maybe those critters not signing that letter, they need to be given that representative or resign talk as well. And I don't think we do that enough. And we've shown in the past that a lot of people focusing their attention on these folks in Congress does make a difference. Again, it's part of that principle that an occupier doesn't want to get the natives restless. And I'm not talking about the Indians here of America. I'm talking about those folks that live on that continent, in that country, on that land, that are considered part of their representation. That's all of you. Someone else is imprisoning or killing journalism, as we read here. Elon Musk broke all the tools historians need to archive tweets about Israel-Gaza war. This is a different type of silencing and censorship. When Elon Musk began requiring people to pay steep fees to access the Twitter API earlier this year, he broke a series of tools used by researchers and archivists that would be used to accurately save tweets with metadata. We're talking evidence here now. What is we read right there? Elon Musk is looking for what? He's looking for the cash. He's not interested in free speech. In February, after Musk announced his API changes, tweets and accounts disappearing off of Twitter made clear, he wrote, that the information that was once readily available to you, that even seemed to belong to you, can disappear in a moment. And I want you to really think about that, because this is the whole point in the trap. We think that the stuff we do on a platform is ours. It's not. He owns this stuff. He owns the time and manner. He possesses it. He controls it. He can use it at his leisure. You can't. And yet you also notice he charged money and then he took away the ability to fulfill the money that he charged. I'm surprised someone hasn't sued against that. But anyway, I want to point out this guy is no different than any of the other the countries that are attacking journalism. He does it a slightly different way. The reporting goes on here, because of Musk's API changes, it's no longer feasible to do that unless you pay tens of thousands of dollars per month, which many academics, researchers, or archivists simply cannot afford. So let's go back to the statement that even seem to belong to you and can disappear at a moment. It sounds like not having property and liking it to me, doesn't it, to you? Your expression is not yours in Musk's town square. As the everythings of the world now here, control our lives as we move forward. His everything, his app is going to be controlling everything. It's going to get into economics and everything else. That's not none of your business, none of your property, none of your control. And I get that right out of the mining law of the United States of America, the load law, and you have exclusive use, possession, and enjoyment. Three conditions. You have none of those when you get onto these platforms. I want you to consider that. And that's going to be your life when you get into the digital gulag. It's no different. A different type of journalistic killing is what this, to me, is. You're not able to get the information you want, and someone's, in this case, going to make a profit from it. It's not just a geopolitical profit. This is so-called monetary, even though we're in a debt system. And that debt system you're going to be involved in, I keep talking about this periodically. I don't get to it too much. I get tired of talking about some of the obviousnesses of it. Maybe you even get tired of listening to it. But I got to remind us as we move through, these are all interconnected this way. But your life will be brought into that. You volunteered into X. Some of you haven't. I'm not saying that everybody. Some people left. I still post there just to get the word out. Where would I put the word to get out unless it was on some place that someone might read? All three of you. And the pretty girls. I get lots of pretty girls coming after my broadcast and getting the links and liking them, and so that's kind of fun. It's not helping us spread the word, though, and that's another problem. But here we have, we're going to get your digital gulag going. They're going to get you all connected up and be happy to give you what you think is the services. But all of a sudden, we find Optus says some key services are gradually being restored after hours a long outage affects over 10 million customers. This is your digital world as a token citizen, folks. At some point, you could just lose your connectivity. Now consider that your whole life, your whole digital world as a token citizen, and consider that your life depends on connectivity to the Borg as they are making that happen. And all they can say, if you look at this story, is all they can say about that outage is, we're really, really apologetic. They don't care about your life. Your life is on hold if you'll ever get it back. And that's just showing you, if they can shut it off as a problem, they didn't tell us exactly really rarely what happened there. But this is the future they want, and they want you out of being able to have any control whatsoever. And our little ones, they are the target as well, our little ones have become more accessible to government criminality as we see how this thing with Israel, it's funny where it pops up, how the interference pops up. where they're already wired in to do this to people, and the little ones in particular in this story, these organized criminals are not beyond terrorizing your sons and daughters with their own press releases. They know exactly what the press is about, and they use it to the fullest. They'll deny it all the more. You'll see that in this next report here, Angry Birds. Israel ads showing the Hamas atrocities pop up in children's video games. Now, this is that other problem, the interconnectivity. You start updating your stuff, all of a sudden there's ads in it. They can update these ads. In London, as you'll see here, Maria Julia Assis was sitting down to her meal in her Terrence home in North London when her six-year-old son ran into a dining room, his face pale. The puzzle game on his Android phone had been interrupted by a video showing Hamas militants terrified Israeli families and blurred graphic footage. Over a black screen, messages in capital letters from the Israeli Ministry of Foreign Affairs told the first-year student, quote, "We're being murdered in our homes, executed in our beds. We will make sure that those who harm us pay a heavy price," close quote. Assis, a 28-year-old barista from Brazil, said that the ad left her son shaken and she quickly deleted the game. Quote, "He was shocked," she said in a telephone interview. "He literally said, 'What is this bloody ad doing on my game?'" But now the impression's made, isn't it? Think about the shock, the literal shock. If you remember when you were little and the things that could shock you, this little one got hit by Israel. They don't have any shame about what the message they send and who they send it to. Reuters has documented at least five other cases across Europe where the same pro-Israel video, which carried footage of rocket attacks, a fiery explosion, and masked gunmen, was shown to gamers, including several children. Israeli Minister of Foreign Affairs, head of digital, David Saranga, confirmed that the video was a government-promoted ad, but said that he had no idea how it ended up on various games. He said the footage was part of a larger advocacy drive by the Israeli Foreign Ministry, which has spent $1.5 million on internal ads since Hamas' October 7th attack on civilians in southern Israel ignited the war in Gaza. And so I won't touch more on the history of that and all the things they're not talking about. They'll just come right into reprogram your kids, your little ones' games, and they'll have a control over what they see, and it's an instantaneous shock. To the point, the kid is aware enough at first grade, what's this doing on my game? He knew it wasn't right, but the damage is done. And that's a quick one to show you. There's a lot more planned intrusions that are made. Through the so-called education system. Then I saw this ad, and this was this ad about the news, the notice. I thought it was pretty neat when I read the title, but you got to get into the base of it, and you find out, well, the foundation, the title is different than the foundation of what they're actually getting after. U.S. Democrats block aid for Israel. And I'm thinking, okay, good. We don't need to be funding a foreign war anyway, right? U.S. Democrats a blockade for Israel, but look, we look closer and look, you see, there's someone in Washington is trying to stop genocide. Let us read on if we think that was what we were seeing there. They want to stop this genocide that's going on. We read, though, Senate Democrats on Tuesday blocked a House bill that would have provided emergency aid to Israel without funding to Ukraine. Lawmakers demanded cash for Ukraine be included in the funding bill. Oh, well, shucks, Schumer. I was beginning to think killing people off for profit had reached its limits with the Zionist genocide of Palestine, but no way, folks. No one, not one foreign country will be left behind by the bloodthirsty, warmongering Uniparty. They weren't voting it not because it was against Israel. No, you're not giving enough for more war. We won't kill people. The United States of America is really not the country I've ever thought about, and yet it's doing it in the name of the people. And we're moving on in this interesting story, the games is us, the U.S. and the Israel Zionistas is us, Israel and U.S., not is. Is what they created. Now, this is the games that they play. And the little kid had one, they have their own. But given this is true, and again, we have to qualify some of these reports, but given it's true, why would anyone do this? And then exposing themselves to further condemnation, where we read, Israel and U.S. excluding Russians, from the Gaza evacuation list, as stated by Hamas. Why would you leave out people that need to be evacuated? This is the treachery that goes on with these so-called representatives of nations. Palestinian organization Hamas has clarified that it does not obstruct foreign citizens from leaving Gaza. And so remember I talked about a little about this, and it's kind of a little bit confusing. How could that be, folks? Israel keeps saying that Hamas wants to trade these people, but Hamas doesn't want to really keep them. And they never really had an intention to keep them. They were, they picked them up, but they didn't have any intention to barter them, as it's been said. However, the compilation of the list to travel to Egypt is managed by Israel and the United States, as we hear from this. Hamas head of international relations in Gaza Strip and former health minister Bassem Naim told Sputnik. According to the Hamas head of international relations, Russian citizens were not included in the evacuation list to leave Gaza Strip because of the obstacles from Tel Aviv and Washington. Quote, we have no role to play in the process, and we have no authority to determine who is allowed to leave Gaza for Egypt. Nevertheless, we do not prevent those who wish to leave Gaza from doing so, Naim said. So if true, the United States and Zionists are holding hostages, not Hamas. Have we ever heard that in the news? That's a new one on me, and I thought that was very interesting. And it really changes the complexion a lot in my mind, and it's not in a good way, certainly. Israel admits possessing nukes and threats to U.S., threats to use them against Gaza. Iran's atomic chief took notice of something I took notice of, and they are taking this very seriously. They have to. It may mean their nation, but he says that Israel admits possessing the nukes where their official said they wanted to use them. Remember? That was a serious statement. On November 5th, Israeli Heritage Minister Amichai Eliyahu said in an interview that the Israeli radio station that one of the possible options for Israel was dropping a nuclear bomb on Gaza Strip. The minister also opposed allowing any humanitarian aid in the Gaza Strip and saying that Israel, quote, would not hand the Nazis humanitarian aid, close quote, and that, quote, there is no such thing as an uninvolved civilians in Gaza. I'm going to interject here. Remember, the babies are considered terrorists by the Zionists. The babies are terrorists. Should have said all you never needed to know. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu later suspended Eliyahu from participating in government meetings until further notice. Yeah, he spilled the beans, right? It wasn't because they really disliked it. The head of the Atomic Energy Organization of Iran, Mohammad Islami, on Wednesday condemned Israel for threatening to use nuclear weapons against the Gaza Strip, stressing that this is only means Israel has admitted to possessing nuclear arms. Once again, he says, the official of the Zionist regime has admitted to possessing nuclear weapons, and more importantly, by threatening the oppressed and innocent people of Gaza. He questioned the most basic principles of international law and the UN Charter, Islami told the Iranian a news agency. Quote, they should announce the consequences of the threat of using nuclear weapons by this fake regime to the United Nations Security Council, in addition to condemning these destructive threats, which are contrary to the principles and goals of the UN Charter, Islami said. And you heard silence on all this. They're calling it up, but you're hearing silence from those that have power in the UN Security Council to make this a question, as it's been a question in silence the whole time. So, yes, there's the consequences. Merely because of the threat to use the nuclear weapons, the State of Israel, so-called, however so wrongly, allowed in the beginning by the powerful nations, ought to lose its international recognition as a state, just for making that comment. Again, I say it as a state because that's what the international body has recognized. All these nations that are wringing their hands allowed this to happen. and this is even beyond its original wrongful international recognition. They should have condemned it outright, be on top of it, but they haven't. And removed, and the Zionist state needs to be removed because it's a threat to mankind, generally. And I say humankind, I'm saying this demon mob is a threat to mankind. They've shown themselves to be unworthy amongst the rest of us, and that needs to be controlled by the rest of the people in the form of nations. This Zionista demon mob must be cast out of the body of mankind and sent to the sea. And if this is not done by the nations, but be done by a man, then think about how this starts to roll out. If this is not done by the nations and a man steps up to make peace regarding all this, beware of the peacemaker covering that is you'll be seeing. If this is where it's at, if this is what it looks like we are, where we are down down the history, this peacemaker is going to be coming in, and we're underneath the cover of a peacemaker, and he's likely actually an antichrist. And as you see the Christian churches being attacked, you see the hospitals being attacked, and if it's not eliminated all, we'll be unto mankind for a further time. We are going to be walking into a very serious, desperate time for everybody globally. If the nations don't step up and stop this state, remove it, and a man steps up under cover of making peace, I hope you all go and start getting kind of spiritual about it. And I'll refer you over to Luke 8:26-39. And you can see talk about the demons that possessed a man was exorcised, put in the pigs, and they ran into the ocean. I don't think this is much different than that. The demons are running the world. They need to be brought out, removed from the body of mankind, so that we can live down a little bit ways until this thing works its way out. We are not going to do it as people. We can do it as potentially as nations against a nation. A state that was created, but I think this mimics the biblical reference there. Though it's dangerous to say they are the same. I'm not saying in time they're the same. I'm saying it's the example that we can say show. If you don't get rid of this demon mob called the State of Israel and move it off the face of the earth, it's going to be a quickly festering wound, as you see. And the United States is helping that. There are another occupier that claims the right of defense, and there's no precedent for that. The only precedent that there is the fact that you're a criminal, that you're an international criminal. And despite this nuclear and spiritual threat in full support of the occupying political movement assisted by His Majesty, the UK here, we read in this article, because you see this is a subtag, the UK exceptionalizing an apartheid state mirrored in France. Again, this evil, if you will, is just global. It just doesn't stop. And the people, for whatever reason, have not risen up and did their, if we would look at it from the Christ-like things, peacefully stopping the demon. Don't let it live amongst you. And yet we do. And we let these people have the sway. The United States government cannot be said to be actually being run by domestic people. They're actually being run by what I can see is foreign agents under the cover of being domestic people. French senators have passed a bill to ban criticism of Zionism. Okay, I just said that it's no different, they say, is what their friend across the channel allowed to happen. It's now they're supporting, the French senators are proposing to support Zionism. Remember, it's a political movement, not being Jew, not being religious, none of that. It's just simply a political atheism in a way. It has nothing to do with a religion at all. They're using that as a cover. Under the proposed new law, contesting the existence of the State of Israel would lead to years imprisonment, while provoking hatred against Israel would lead to as many as 5 years in jail. Free speech is under attack everywhere from Zionists. And this is what, again, so this broadcast now is, under French law, if this would be law, would be subject to years imprisonment for attacking not the Jews, not the Semites, but a political organization that the French or the French government is supporting the English government in interjecting into a people's territory that they had no right to do. Who's the real terrorist? Who's causing the real hate that's going on? It can't be defined by people that are trying to call it out, but this is what the supporters are. We look at what they say here when you read this article. I have to ask, are the French senators extolling the virtue signally of for stupid? I mean, this is so absurd doing this that I can't imagine that people in France actually continue to listen to it. Now, France has fallen a long, long, long way from the Statue of Liberty gift that they gave to the United States. Again, as we can look back, just a big cover fraud to make it sound like we was. So we see the true intention of these nations and these governments is coming out today if we hadn't noticed it before. And I don't know how someone doesn't look into the world of the notice that we see and see that. From a commentary article that came out, French senators propose a bill to ban criticism of Zionism. A group of 16 French senators have introduced a bill to criminalize criticism of Zionism. Senator Stéphane L. Roudelier said, anti-Zionism is linked to the increase in anti-Zionism. Zionism, the racist Jewish nationalist movement, has led to the forced displacement of over 1 million Palestinians and the arrest of over 1 million more. Please think about these numbers. According to renowned Israeli historian Ilan Pappe, quote, Zionism has a colonialist movement that penetrated the Palestinian homeland by force with the wish to colonize the country with possible expansionist ambitions to penetrate the heart of the Arab world. This is what I've been saying. This is what history says. This is the plan you can go read if you do any research. This has nothing to do with being anti-Semitic. He doesn't even understand what the word means. He certainly does not recognize that the Palestinians are a Semitic people, and so protecting them is not being anti-Semitic. The Israeli movement, the Zionist Federation, is not but a political organization. It is attacking. It's not Semitic. It is a political movement. It is attacking Semites. Now, when you get your head wrapped around how they've twisted all this around, maybe you'll understand why I've been quickly onto what this is and been taking the position that I have. And it's not about even these movements and stuff. It's about looking at the law about property. Who has what? And who's a trespasser and who's not? And how do you identify it? Because if we don't have the right of property and maintain a lot of that, we're going to be in a lot of trouble, and it's coming to that point here. The United States is really ignorant about their property rights. Why I keep talking about it where I can. If in this case, if a stupid, that's STOOPID, stupid Stefani wouldn't link political Zionist Federation aided and abetted by His Majesty of the United Kingdom and instead educated people to the truth, there wouldn't be the backlash of anti-Semitism against the Palestinians or legitimate non-Zionista Jews. Is there any question why the proposal mirrored by the UK's exceptionalism of apartheid state is even a question here in this article? There's people that are paying attention to all this. I hope we are too as Americans, and we don't get lulled into the propaganda that's being told to us by people that look like they have something important to say because they are wrapped in a senator or representative robe. In this case, ridiculous Roudelier is a national self-inflicting wound. His ignorance is stunning. His politics is worse. And yet, I don't hear, maybe we'll hear it over time, I don't hear yet the people standing up against that. The principles that he's violating. And not to be left behind, UK poised to brand dissent as extremism. Anyone who undermines, quote, undermines the country's institutions or values could be targeted under this new proposal. And you can hear behind the woodshed, that's all I'm doing, attacking these institutions. And I've got my basis for it, giving you the information, if you haven't found it yourself, to go read and understand how you can attack the institutions. And then we turn around and we say, why? Why is because they don't follow the organic documents. They do not follow the due process that's required to do what they do. They take a lot of license in just their existence and what sovereignty ends up being and national security. It's all crime. Anybody who goes against that agenda will be undermining the state. So understand, now we're back to the journalism and looking at what the journalists, why they get attacked. Anything they do is considered this undermining of the powers that is running the propaganda. In this case, it would be the West in Israel and Gaza. Extremism, for the UK now, extremism is the promotion or advancement of any ideology which aims to overturn or undermine the UK's system of parliamentary democracy, its institutions, and values. Listen very carefully to that word, values. Reads the new definition reportedly drafted as part of a national counter-extremism plan announced by Cabinet Minister Michael Gove's Department of Leveling Up Housing and Communities earlier this year. The source documents mark, quote, official sensitive, trumpet its potential to frame a new unified response to extremism. The lack of public debate or consultation regarding the new definition has worried activists who fear it will effectively criminalize dissent. Okay, so you hear it right there. They decide what it's going to be. I would have to ask you, have you considered, when you read that, you consider what they would consider a value? Does the term sustainability come to your mind? Cancel culture? Yes, it should. I hope it did. If it didn't, you need to maybe listen a little bit longer, sort of applying what I'm saying. All this is interrelated. It doesn't, we're not talking about just these parliamentary things. That's already been undermined by the agreement to go global, the climate change, sustainability goals, ESGs, all that stuff. The WHO, the UN, all that. Going under international law here is not a good thing. Not for people within a nation. And so, when you see values, that was a big red flag for me. In the future, you talk against anything that a government agent wants in the UK by their so-called parliamentary procedure, which is all adulterated at this point, then you will be found to be susceptible to being imprisoned, put in a cage. His Majesty not even letting that ink dry. We read UK woman charged under terrorism law for protest posters. The depiction of Hamas paragliders supposedly indicates that the woman supports the group, which is a crime in Britain. Fascinating how quickly this works. Hiba Al-Hayya, 29, and Pauline Akukunda, 26, have been charged with a single count of carrying or displaying an article, namely an image displaying a paraglider, to arouse reasonable suspicion that they are supporters of a proscribed organization, namely Hamas. The prosecutor stated, describing the actions as a violation of Britain's Terrorism Act of 2000. Now, no mention that His Majesty violated international law to enforce, impose, interject, inject, and kill people over injecting a Zionist political movement back when. Okay, so no one talks about that, but these folks wearing paragliders on their clothes is now someone who can be subject to, 6 months in prison and time for bringing to the protest. This all happened last month. And I keep asking these things. What do you think His Majesty will do about those not agreeing with his pet climate change project or other sustainable values? See, it's already in the works. It's against you. These laws are coming, as I tell you. They come down. They don't have really much they're attacking. They focus you on Hamas when what they're really looking for is that coming future really quickly. It's already, you're already in it, but don't really understand it. And this law will then be picked up to do that against you in the future when Hamas is whomever, whatever they end up being or not. And that's all, if it doesn't go to the end of history here, quickly here, and we go a little bit further, That's the future they want. They will, anybody who speaks out, it'll be contorted to something different than what you might do. It'll be contorted out of the truth doesn't matter here. The values are all important, and you will be on the other side of that. That puts you on the other side of the cage, and they have the key, and you probably aren't getting out without a lot of, well, they'll have your digital system worked out, and you will be, as you see in China, reduced in your function as well. And here, speaking of His Majesty's pet project and sustainability, and climate change here, speaking of a climate change denier, this is going to, I want to see how the UK is going to put this one in prison. How long is the Galapagos going to stay unvaccinated, I think, here when I was looking at the story with these man-made covert bioenhancements, as we read, new deep water reefs discovered off the coast of Ecuador's Galapagos Islands. Think about this, folks, what they talk about, how they conglomerate a bunch of nonsense together, and then we find this pristine, you'll hear the word pristine, pristine place in the ocean. Two large pristine coral reefs were discovered last week off the coast of Galapagos Islands in South America, according to an international group of scientists at the Schmidt Ocean Institute. Again, folks, there's so much in the ocean we haven't ever discovered. It's there. Pristine, they just now come across it. Isn't that cool? I think it's cool that they found it. But how is it pristine if mankind has done so much pollution? How is this place insulated? In contrast, this reef is a denier, I can just tell you, denier of climate change. In contrast to the shallow reef scuba divers may be familiar with, deep water reefs thrive without sunlight in cold, dark conditions. The ones recently discovered are as long as a half a mile and rest a quarter of a mile beneath the surface of the ocean floor. They are said to be thousands of years old. What a climate change denier these reefs are, folks. And you have pristine, folks, unlike the so-called dying reefs everywhere else, right? Providing the global warming doesn't exist now, or climate change isn't about the weather. Anthropomorphism has not been touched this part of the ocean for some sustainably inexplicable reason. Now, I keep bringing this stuff up on how nonsensical the so-called science is, and yet there's some real science making discoveries of things they don't know. It's not, science isn't what they know and they have answers. This is what they've found and they're finding and continuing to ask questions about. And if the world was done in and man had already done its job, how is it pristine and how has it not suffered the fate of every other so-called reef before? If you look into that, you find out it's a natural cycle too. The reef, the oceans absorb carbon dioxide as a natural thing. Nature creates carbon dioxide. Life is on carbon dioxide. In fact, we look at Mars, where Tesla wants to go. We go over there and we look at Venus. We go look at everywhere else. You find the last thing, one of the last gases is carbon dioxide. So here we have this deep water, pretty cool stuff actually, this deep water reef, not even light gets to it, pristine, never been affected by global warming. That's fascinating to me. How does that happen? And there's moving into this other more things. There are a lot of things that line in a pristine ocean. Here, if you look at pristine, it's actually just natural. The environmentalists want to make a big deal about it. They want to say this is a pristine river, so they can kick you out of it. So don't misunderstand that's going on there as well. However, pristine ocean, not affected by anthropomorphism, was cool. I like to see that. There's evidence. There's a hope, folks. There's a hope. But in those pristine oceans, there's things like fungus. And what if the boiling seas chases the fungus out? We may have the evidence, if that happens, folks, in this report. A fungal infection in the brain produces effects similar to Alzheimer's. And this is another interesting thing for us. Again, what we can discover is very cool. We don't have to make up these things. There's a great things to be seen, and this is my disappointment for the people that call themselves scientists who are just propagandists that work for movements, green religion, and all this other stuff. But a team of researchers in Baylor College of Medicine has discovered that when the brain is infected with a common fungus, it changes in ways similar to those seen in Alzheimer's disease. The new research delves deeper into some of the molecular mechanisms behind the process. Using animal models, the research team discovered how the fungus called Candida albicans enters the brain activates the mechanism for its clearance and generates amyloid beta-like peptides, toxic protein fragments thought to be central to the development of Alzheimer's disease. Previous research has implicated fungi, the fungus among us, in the development of chronic neurodegenerative diseases like Alzheimer's, but their mechanisms are not entirely understood. There's science. We don't know much. We go seek it out. There it is. But this is very interesting. But if we don't understand about funguses and bacteria and things, and it's our life too, our body's made up of these things, but they get out of hand and they can cause us trouble. Finding this, we find that, oh, maybe we don't need pharmaceuticals. We just need to understand we're being attacked by a fungus. We can address the fungus maybe more directly. And this was kind of raised my ideas. This is sort of like the brain-eating amoeba, right? I mean, so pretty neat. Things in nature. Nature's tough. Come from the deep, the pristine, and it's going to eat you as fast as it can because it wants to live too. And we read here now, the zombie fungus, a man refused to do as the fungus or MK Ultra ordered. As we read this little story, heavily, and this is just an anomalous little story. I haven't seen much more talk about it. Very interesting, very bizarre. But a heavily armed man killed himself rather than carry out an apparent plan to shoot up a mountaintop amusement park in Colorado, his body discovered in a bathroom next to the words scrawled on the wall, "I am not a killer," authorities said Monday. Diego Barajas Medina, 20, was found dead in a woman's bathroom in Glenwood Caverns Adventure Park by a maintenance crew on Saturday morning before the park opened to the public. He died of an self-inflicted gunshot wound to the head, Garfield County Coroner Robert Glasmier said. Now, remember those fungus, they get in the ants, and the fungus goes in through their body, and then finally near the end of their life, the fungus controls the brain of the ant. What brain there is, it goes and it tells it to climb to the highest spot it can. That ant will climb as a zombie to a high spot so that the fungus then grows a fruit, a spore pod that is extended out of the now dead ant, and the wind or water spreads its spores down and into the next victims, which in this case would be ants. I looked at that and said, I wonder what's going on with this guy. He was partly still there as a man, but that fungus was getting him, wasn't it? Pretty interesting, pretty creepy too, isn't it? Another creepy thing, thinking of zombies, this zombie economy that we're going to be suffering way more through. Fed chairman to central bank economists, think outside the models with forecasts. This is really enlightening. It just kind of shows us more of the game that's going on, the smoke and mirrors that happens. Economic models can do a reasonably good job of capturing the working of the economy over past decades, Powell said. Of course, he says here, even with state-of-the-art models and even in relatively calm times, the economy frequently surprises us. Let me interject here. Remember, they just use models to find out a thing that they thought might be doing something, but they still have to still study it. It's the same type of model these so-called economists, these experts, are applying to something they have no clue over. And this is, again, the interest rate that they're charging is here. It's their amount that the people are agreeing to be stolen from. That's the amount that they get, is the interest that anybody agrees to pay. And so they remember that part here. But they use models here, state-of-the-art models. Even in relatively calm times, the economy frequently surprises us. Great admissions in this story here about surprising them. This whole last few years has been a surprise to these folks. And I picked up some of the stories to tell you about them, is that we just pick them up, touch them, and move on. But he goes on to say, but our economy is flexible and dynamic and subject to times of unpredictable shocks, such as the global financial crisis or pandemic. He continued, at those times, forecasters have to think outside the models. Regular forecasting also demands a systematic approach and a high degree of intellectual rigor, Powell said, urging that this has to be combined with flexibility and agility. These folks don't have a clue as to what to expect or do right now. They're fiat unintellectualization, the FUAI, has failed them. It was the unintellectual fiat. They just run this scam on everybody. Now, this is a really some, if you listen to this, this is really some fiat mental gymnastics magic going on here. Intelligent rigor not used until now is what he's coming up with. The crystal ball conjuring is what this is, folks. As people do here, when we look and have to live underneath these guys who buy their policies, do you actually want to rely on the fiat intellectual rigor that has failed the people for over 100 years? Think about the history of this guy and what he's representing. And so is he saying essentially all expectations are gone? And I think we can just clearly suggest, yeah, they're probably gone. And now we he says, we would think he's inferring here, we, the economic intelligentsia, the plunderers under cover of fiat and the manipulation, I think we'll punt now, hoping to pick up the ball downfield and praying to all that is evil. Our failed game plan isn't exposed, and most importantly, the people lose the confidence in what we do. Because it's all about confidence, folks. They're telling you here in this story, they don't have a clue. They're going to now put under intellectual rigor that they don't have. Otherwise, they would have been using it already. It's pretty simple. We can read here on, investors remain mostly unconvinced by the Fed's rosier predictions as of late, with the infamous inverted yield curve continuing to signal that as recession is expected, as I read about a bit, to expose us to that little barometer. And it's not going well. He says it's all beyond them, but we're so intellectually rigorous, we're going to put our mind to this and try to figure it out. They don't have a clue, folks. So this is all about being confident, getting your confidence. Do you remain unconvinced here as well as the investors? Enough to use available alternatives to the usurpacious monetary system, even that is destroying your lives, folks? Are you willing to start to consider, when you hear these folks talking like this, are you willing to consider an alternative? And what might that alternative be? As we've talked, we can see time out of mind, we can see documents that tell us maybe the Bible, the organic documents of the founding of the United States of America. You look at what they were talking about relative to money. Maybe we can let that be our guide. Gold and silver coin are mentioned in the high regard globally, even so, and beyond those, even fiat central banks are purchasing record amounts now. If you read the news, they know what's going on. Maybe that's the clue from the intellectually rigorous monetary and economic plundering mental gymnasts. As I think about that, that will also extricate you from the society Bill Gates invests into, your further digital demise to these philanthropic profiteers. They want you in that system. Gold and silver doesn't allow that. It's a protection. It's not something that I mention lightly. I may be incapable of bringing it together for myself, but some of you may be able to gather it up, hopefully mutually with a lot of other people. It's going to be difficult if you don't. And stop allowing these folks to run your life. Stop engaging in the speculative lifestyle where it's really not in their control. It's as much as they can get away with. That shouldn't be what we live under. And it's not a righteous, if you will. It's no principle behind it. It's a strictly a plunder tool. And what about the fiat system here? As we continue to run on through all these pieces of information, the U.S. will run out of paper to print dollars, says the Kremlin, which is a pretty interesting response. As the U.S. national debt has risen so high that Washington will no longer be able to print any more dollar to service it, Kremlin spokesperson Dmitry Peskov said on Thursday he was commenting on the statement made by his U.S. counterpart John Kirby on Wednesday that the U.S. has already spent 96% of the funds allocated for Ukraine since early 2022, when its long-running tensions with neighbor Russia turned to armed conflict. When a reporter suggested that Washington could just print money indefinitely unless the printing press breaks down, Peskov pointed out that there will simply be no paper left. saying, I read recently the United States spends about $200 million an hour in servicing its debt. They will run out of paper soon. This says the Fed banker, as is listening to this guy. Got you there, you silly little man. We haven't used paper for years. We use digital ledgers now, helped by the all-knowing fiat unintellectualization AI. That's F-U-A-I, folks. Fiat unintellectualization. All we have to do is have the intellectual rigor to add zeros to the ledger, and the Americans agree they still use our fraudulent products. Otherwise, if you think about this, that's a pretty brutally honest observation from the Russians. Paper aside, there is no fiscal or monetary responsibility to which reasonable folks would continue to consider or have confidence in. Why then would my listener? The notice is right in front of us on what we should and shouldn't be doing, and it's been historically documented on what we should and shouldn't be doing and the reasons why, and we live in a society that has abandoned reason, and we're allowing this on us. So I send that out. As I said before, I'm condemning my listeners to the knowledge of what you ought to do, and to try and get you to do that, to stay, not get run down by this system of fraud and deceit, which is going to take down the whole world. It's going to envelop the whole world, but a few. Few will not. And we move on to another causality of AI. We have the fiat unintellectualization AI. That's F-U-A-I. Robot kills man. I wonder when these stories were going to start hitting. This happens. The industrial machine crushed a South Korean man after mistaking him for a box of vegetables. I hope in the near future the robotic government official doesn't confuse my listener for a box of vegetables. You know, the mentally incapacitated type vegetables, like those they euthanize in Kanukistan. We read here, the operator of the distribution center, Dog Gone Song, the export agricultural complex, promised to evaluate the incident as well, calling for the creation of a precise and safe system to keep robots in check. That's an interesting statement. Didn't the government killer drone say something similar about the warp speed jab, folks? Safe and effective? Didn't they say the same thing? The government drones that were attacking us? Nobody said much about that. Then what happened to the vegetables? They accepted the jab. The malfunctioning, maladministrating killer government robots are already onto us, folks. These stories are telling us a thing if we just translate them over. About what's going on. The government acts as this big robot with artificial intelligent officials, and they work with an authority that you allow them. As I pointed out, the Covey swindle was completely avoidable globally. And speaking of more robots, and your little ones, bring it right back to there, Texas private school is using AI technology to teach core subjects. The Austin private school isn't the first in the state to embrace artificial intelligence, but so far, some alpha students appear to be enjoying the new method of learning. A fifth grader named Byron told KVUE that the new system gives him faster, more thoughtful feedback. Quote, it explains a detailed explanation of why the correct answer is correct, not just saying, oh, here's your correct answer, Byron told the station. Quote, it'll say, you can answer the question this way next time. And I want you to get this article and just a quick eyeball of stuff, seeing how they propagandize through the news, anthropomorphizing the machine tools. Look at the picture here, you'll see that. The AI has nothing to do with the humanoidish robot finger pointing and touching a little boy's finger. But that's what they want us to believe, that these robots are like people too. And the teachers are so feckless as to be rendered as guides. You'll see what they're called, guides now. While the machine tool builds better relationships with the student than the non-teacher coaching and clarifying, quote, academic goals. And when you listen behind the woodshed long enough, you start understanding these terms mean something. Academic goals is not for the student. The academic goals are for the one that makes the AI. what is the academic goal inculcating your little one in these types of schools? What are they being groomed for, folks? The teacher is rendered a coach. AI can communicate better than the teacher can with your son or daughter. Why would you keep them in that school anyway? And I'm not saying that AI can't be helpful, but again, they're anthropomorphizing machines. And they're grooming your kids for different things, whether or not they'll ever befall your little one. We see evidence in the world of what is a big deal now coming. Olena Zelenska's organization, accused of child trafficking scandal, insider confesses. So we don't know what these AI fun-friendly things are doing with the school system, and I don't want to get too lost in telling you again. My studies of the child services explained to me what was going on long before you'd heard about Jeffrey Epstein, long before you heard about it was in the government or was in the system. I could see it. It was within the system already. It's within the judiciary. It's within the agencies. It's within the people they have. It's within the family services, the foster families as well. And I've explained all of that. And anybody who's run down that track, there's not one that's alive. Everybody that found that out and started to track it down is dead. And it was even an FBI agent that investigated that. He was caught dead. And so this is not an unknown thing. But we see, what are they grooming your kids through this AI when they take away the real relationship with the teachers and things? And then you see the fallen nature of the teachers, too. It's a very scandalous thing. But under the cloak of aid, disturbing allegations of child trafficking linked to First Lady of Ukraine's charity, under the color of being more able to build a relationship, that machine is being programmed by an academic with a goal for your little one. Moving to this story, in a series of harrowing allegations that could send shockwaves through the international diplomatic and charitable circles, the foundation led by Olena Zelenska, the First Lady of Ukraine, is now facing severe scrutiny. Accusations have emerged that the organizations, under the guise of rescuing war-impacted children, have been covertly involved in child trafficking, with some of the victims purportedly ending up in the hands of pedophiles across Europe. Now, this is not even a story, I think, if anybody has been looking into this. And with regard to Ukraine, and it's like this big laundering thing, and we're not cleaning clothes here, but a big laundering function that the people are making a lot of big money in, the FTX fraudster guy. I didn't even talk about that side of that fraud. I just wanted you to know he got a jury found him criminally liable. He's got a lot of problems. He was on the forefront of that, but all these Democrat representatives were being politically fostered and encouraged through political donations and the money laundering that went on around that. And we read here someone that comes we know about in the news, but he's come up from back in 2020 now in the news. Someone's questioning why his work, this is Rudolph Giuliani, has not been brought more forward about proving a lot of these things out, the corruptions, the different types of corruptions. We read here in 2020, the U.S. court sentenced Lev Parnas to 20 months in prison for fraud. According to the case file, Parnas, along with a group of associates, used funds for political donations in the expectation of obtaining a license for the future sale of marijuana. However, Parnas did experience a reversal of media fortunes after coming out against former allies Trump and Giuliani, and was subsequently feeded by MSNBC's Rachel Maddow and CNN's Anderson Cooper. Today, it is this very fraudster that which Congressman Jamie Raskin is calling to be the star witness in Joe Biden's impeachment hearing. Maybe it's just desperation on the Democrats' part, or perhaps it's just the theatrical value. If lawmakers like Raskin are genuinely interested with setting the record straight and discovering the truth of the Biden's involvement in the Ukraine Burisma scandal, why not call as a witness Ukrainian politician Andriy Darkak, a man who, together with Rudy Giuliani, has been hot on the trail of the Biden family corruption for years. So what's been blown up in the last year or the six months or whatever has really been going on for quite a while. And we now turn our gaze to the Department of Justice. Where was their investigation? But indeed, it says written here, it was Dirkhack and Giuliani who, quote, gave life to the story about the interference of the United States Embassy in Ukraine during the 2016 presidential election through the Democratic-controlled NABU, a story which remained taboo in Ukraine for a long time. The two worked in parallel investigating corruption schemes in Ukraine's energy sector, the Burisma and reverse gas supply scandals under which Naftogaz, the latter of which is yet to be fully developed in the House Oversight Committee's investigation. Dirkhack and Giuliani managed to show that in response to undeniable evidence in the form of invoices, statements, and audit documents, the Democrats had only one response, to deem any accusation or evidence of corruption as Russian propaganda, and to try and to discredit the sources of such information, including with the help of the testimony of highly dubious witness like Lev Parnas. So this got me to thinking, is this partly why Giuliani has been brought to charges, like you see this whole group of people? And I don't ask that out of any favor to Giuliani. He oversaw the 9/11 evidence destruction, for instance. But is this a better proof of the political prosecution, essentially targeting the whistleblowers here as we watch underneath the noise of MSM, accusing the Biden, accusing Biden of high crimes and misdemeanors, or uncovering Biden's corruption story? And then we go back to the beginning, and this author is questioning, well, if the guy that's in Congress would ask these people, we'd get to the point, which is another issue. We never get to the point. We never do the right thing. The Congress creators never ask the right questions. They make it look like they're asking the right questions. And so are they attacking whistleblowers? Well, if you read a little bit further, it seems that you can read that, where we read, but the Democratic establishment in the United States and their proxies in Ukraine are not wasting time either. In the U.S., the Justice Department and its FBI, and in Ukraine, the corrupt Zelensky government, with the predictable regularity, will bring criminal cases, albeit unsubstantiated and hastily compiled, against any politicians or journalists, we're going to the journalist attack again, who dare to investigate international corruption. In addition to Dirkhack, the same is true for Rudolph Giuliani, Konstantin Kulik, Alexander Dubinsky, Andriy Telyashenko, Galluft, and even Donald Trump himself. The article then, if we read, concludes, in this light, the testimonies of Andriy Dirkhack and Rudolph Giuliani take on special importance. After all, corruption and Burisma, blackmailing the president of a foreign sovereign state to fire the prosecutor general, sending up fraudulent schemes like reverse gas supplies, or placing pressure on the investigation and the courts in the criminal cases of Andriy Kobolov, Andrei Kicha, and Mykola Zolchevsky, all these are stepping stones on the way to impeachment of the incumbent president of the United States. This would also include the public disclosure of Hunter Biden's financial documents, in particular bank statements and credit cards, all of which may show the Biden family received at least $30 million from foreign persons and entities in exchange for political decisions made in their favor. Only then would it become clear who really should be accused of treason. Andriy Dirkhack, someone who did everything to safeguard the sovereignty of his country and restore the good relations between Ukraine and the United States, or the current commander-in-chief of the United States and this family who are mired in the international corruption. The American people deserve to see all the evidence and then make an informed decision about their country's political future. Again, as I entered the broadcast, the journalists, the press, give us the knowledge that we use as the body politic, so-called, to make our decisions on who these folks are going to be that are going to be making the decisions in a representation of us. So does my listener here think that this may be one of the reasons to kill or control journalists and other messengers of the truth? As I began this broadcast, what we're watching is pretty clearly they go right after a war. In war, you go right after your lines of communication. You are what they're warring against, you, the people, my listener. And We have all that Russian propaganda, they called it. Remember, the Democrats are involved. The Democrats said, no, we're not going to agree to this bill with aid to Israel because you didn't give one. We want to kill more people. You got to give aid to Ukraine. And remember, I talked about the prosecutor and the problem about him. But he was there to witness that they interfered with that investigation. And I said, but there's no evidence, and they know it. And so now you watch the Congress creators fumbling around. There's no evidence. And they're not asking the right people that might give it to them. But with Russia propaganda, let's see what the propaganda is about Russia. Remember all that the news from the West about destroying Russia through sanctions? Yeah, the West is shocked by Russian sanctions resilience, the deputy prime minister says. So here we have all these antics going on in the West. And like I said before, if they were going to fight a war, they would have went there with enough munitions and people. This wasn't about any of that. And so Russia propaganda is just the term that they throw out there to take the focus off of them, those that are bringing it out, calling it that. Russia unexpected resilience in the face of unprecedented Western sanctions pressure has caught the United States and its allies off guard, the nation's first Deputy Prime Minister Andrei Belousov said on Sunday. Moscow has achieved true economic sovereignty and demonstrated its ability to pursue independent policy and defend national interests despite any external pressure, he added. The West was shocked that Russia stood fast in the face of sanctions, he said, as a major Russian exhibition that opened in Moscow over the weekend. Shocked, he says. Shocked, folks. Is the guy behind the woodshed shocked? Is my listener behind the woodshed shocked? Of course not. That's why you listen, right? Okay, so this is a Russian promo piece. I get it, granted. But is anyone who listens behind the woodshed shocked that the United States sanctions were as if Uncle Sam unwisely, even foolishly, decided to spit into the hurricane? Any other gender-appropriate designations of this tempest identified by my longtime regular listeners, remember that I've explained years ago that and how both Russia and China were preparing to weather the coming economic storm. I referred to it as the spitting into a hurricane. This was not a shock to any of us. These government critters, they got to be the dumbest things that I've ever seen recently. They must have hit, if they've been this dumb, they must have hit it very well. They would have known better than to commit economic war that they couldn't beat and that the enemy was fully preparing against for a decade before they got there. That said, it is equally to be a plan in a multi-phased action to globalize all populations of the world in a global digital debtor's prison. And remember, you're admonished not to be of the world, but be in it. And don't be of it. And that's what they're trying to make everybody, despite what I talked about Russia and what they see and what they did and the economics, understand that they're still working on the globalization path. I've explained a lot of this. Russia is coming out to say, you folks don't even know what you're doing. And I have to agree, it was easy to see. This article goes on that the official also named a well-established international partnership system contributing to a nation's strong position in the global economy as one of the key factors of economic sovereignty. Other factors include a strong national education and science system capable of producing its own technologies, modern infrastructure, effective government institutions, low inflation, and a budget deficit, as well as a stable access to energy, food, and raw materials. So when you notice in that list, folks, if you listen there, you saw it heard low inflation mentioned, didn't you? You sure did, and there's a reason for it. Again, this is the future intention for the government or some third-party monetary or fiscal policy enforcer, such as the central bank, to steal from them, and that'll be you too. It's a global thing through a central bank that you're hearing all about to steal this through that that low inflation. It's low, but it's still theft. It's extortion, first of all, but it's a secret theft if it's out in the open. That's what they get away with. That's what they're arguing about, the percentage of the inflation rate. If it's low enough, you won't pay attention and you'll let them continue to do it. You'll see, though, that low inflation is for United States people, you can see the tide, there's a law about it. It's called extortion. In the code, it's an exaction. Under your Title 42, Section 1981, that's called equal rights for those of you in the U.S. of A. If anybody else look on, get in, just type in 42 U.S.C. 1981 and go read that. And this, you'll see the word exaction played out. So the exaction doesn't stand out to anyone enough to complain. That's what they get by with. They plunder from you on top of all the other ways they do it. And why wouldn't the government insist on no inflation? If we were looking at this, if they were truly representing the people, why would they not insist on no inflation? At the very least, you would see that that's a clue of the intended perpetual debt system that they want to impose on the people. They're not representing anybody of us. They're representing essentially the bankers and essentially now moving into the global digital gulag. That's the ultimate control grid. The ultimate prison. It's pretty interesting. The bankers just win. They just win. There it is. It's done. And until they are exorcised from your countries. Just like I said earlier about the state of Israel, it's shown it can't live with mankind. It needs to be disappeared. It needs to be gone. And this is up to the people to do it. It's the occupying duty and obligation of the people, any people. And so we can keep on doing it, or we can keep on letting them go, or we can decide it's time to stop it. I mean, I don't know what more to say about how they rip people off. And that can be stopped really quickly, I think, returning to real money, specie, the gold and silver coin that we're told about, and utilize it, as awkward as it might start to be. Again, doing it again will be make it easier as we keep moving through. And we'll, by that use alone, you'll sever yourself from that part of the system. It's pretty cool, pretty simple. And what about setting up that digital gulag? You hear me talking, present Russia's side. It sounds like I'm Russia-centric or Russian. I'm approving of it. I'm only talking to the principals. These folks, these Russian government, they're no better than the others. They're on the forefront of the digital gulag. And we got an article right here. What's Russia doing to narrow the halls of the digital prison to keep track of the trustees' movements here? That's be your token citizen, you, my listener. Russian, maybe not the American, but the Americans are going to be right behind. A lot of these nation people, these citizens, these token citizens are going to be stepped up, probably right through your phones. But Russia blocks 167 VPNs, steps up open VPN and WireGuard disruption, a former FSO officer Sergei says. During the summer, President Putin signed off on legal amendments that will require some internet platforms, including social networks, to verify new users' identities, in some cases using their passports. Providing advice on the use of VPNs or similar tools to access banned internet resources, including extremist Western social media platforms like Faceplant and Instagram, was rendered a criminal offense. As I've told you, the governments will then, in the future, they're going to construct this thing as they need to keep control. They don't want competition. They don't want you to get away. They don't want you to be able to see stuff that they're not wanting you to see. Again, it's kill the journalist, if you will, a different way. But Russia's not somebody I would support. I've told you they're going into the digital future. They're the avant-garde of it, as actually, underneath the color of what we hear in Ukraine. No, they've been doing this pretty steadfastly, no different than I watched them start to prepare for this economic storm that it's not even a storm. They're pulling down their umbrella. On this report here, on one of the ads, warned the VPN somehow obtained users' passport details, plus their names, addresses, and dates of birth. Another suggested that since VPNs in Russia now know everything about their users, spouses might learn about secret affairs, a high price for accessing a social network blocked in Russia, the PSA added. So this is a fear tactics, and it's partly the truth. You know that's it, and then it gets hacked. The point is, Russia is right on the forefront of controlling your digital future, your digital gulag. This is not some country that's all standing up and strictly doing what they need to do for their people. They are, but it's in a control structure on a global scale. And if you don't think China is not making sure of it, of its influential digital gulag trustees are known, there's no anonymity in this thing, as we see another country showing this up front. You want to get involved in this is what's going to start to happen slowly across the globe. China removes anonymity of bloggers' accounts with more than 500,000 followers. China's most popular social media platforms on Tuesday announced that self-media accounts with more than 500,000 followers will be asked to display real name information, a controversial measure that has prompted concerns over doxing and privacy among some users. Quote, self-media, a term, includes news and information not necessarily approved by the government, a genre of online content regulators have cracked down on it in recent years to purify China's cyberspace. It's no different than you being a journalist and being killed. They want you known so you can be targeted, essentially. Doxing and the public release of sensitive information identifying is the public release of sensitive information identifying an individual organization like a home address or phone number, as the UK would say, oh, you're an extremist, and then they would dox you, and you know, people would know about you, and you've heard all the stories already. People that are found, especially in this Palestinian-Israeli thing, the factions go out and they kill each other. They hurt each other. They track each other down. But this is going to be what they're going to divide the people this way. And people are eating this stuff up, and the governments are telling you what they're going to do in this digital gulag. And what I've been explaining is coming down. And so that might be why here, and we don't think it's in Russia or China. I mean, there it is. The EU, digital ID reforms, should be actively resisted, as the people that are looking into this and the experts in this field, the learned people in this field, are telling us we don't want to go here, and we better be very careful. We need to actively resist. And this gets back to me behind the woodshed. For you, you just don't look and know. Knowledge is not power. I hear lots of people continue to say that. It's not. Until you put that knowledge in action and for a purpose, the knowledge is useless. So here they have that you need to actively resist in the EU, I say everywhere, but this is another notice to us of what's happening in the world. There's no part of the world that's not going to be free of it, I don't think, and it's certainly not the digital world, and there's nothing that's separate. There's nothing multipolar about it as we move this thing through and read here. A group of 309 cybersecurity experts, researchers, and scientists hailing from 31 countries around the world have called on the European Union to rethink proposals to reform the electronic identification, authentication, and trust services regulations, saying they propose in its current form that this legislation will not result in adequate technological safeguards for citizens and businesses as intended. In fact, it will very likely, result in less security for all. Well, they're seeing the truth. And that's exactly what the government wants. They want less security. They want to have access to all your stuff and how you be in control. When you become an extremist by their value system, how that's going to be controllable and you will be controlled or doxed or whatever they want to do. I look at that and I'm thinking, well, there's another evidence. Maybe here the notice to us is maybe it's best to figure out an alternative to the digital gulag before it's too late. Don't walk in there with them. Don't walk with them on all this stuff. We have to really resist this, and it says actively, not just passively. Or maybe we won't have to worry about it all, folks, as we now read, moving into Russia, ballistic missile hits target thousands of kilometers away. This is now ramping up more of their capacity. I'm going to balance this off against last week's US ICBM that they had an anomaly in. Look very carefully at what's going on here. Who has the capacity? Who doesn't? The Bulava ICBM was successfully reached Kamchatka after being launched from the White Sea. The Defense Ministry said a Russian nuclear-powered submarine has conducted a ballistic missile test, and the projectile traveling several thousand kilometers from the northern to the easternmost part of the country, the Defense Ministry said. In a statement released early on Sunday, the Ministry said that the submarine Emperor Alexander III had successfully launched the Bulava sea-based intercontinental ballistic missile from White Sea to the Kura test range on the Kamchatka Peninsula. The missile was fired underwater, and its warheads reached the target on time. The test concluded the vessel's sea trials, the result of which will determine whether the Emperor Alexander III officially joins the Russian Navy. Now, what does my listener think is more assuring to allies and deterrence to potential enemies, as we heard the United States' excuse for its failure? A sub-launched ICBM that hits its target thousands of kilometers away, or that the USIBM I reported on last week, in fact, was destroyed in flight due to an undefined anomaly, whereby it couldn't do more than provide valuable data and did not provide valuable mission completion results. What's the more important deterrence and assurance? And who more wisely spent their money here? Of all the economics that we talked about, the crystal ball they're talking about, the vigorous and rigorous intellectual application, who's doing spending their money better? The country that has to destroy their missile in flight, or the one that reaches its destination? And then what about that world? You realize what they're talking about here. Then moving on, last week it appeared the military used an ostensible anomaly to ask for more money. This week, the military-industrial complex is at it again. As we move this saga in the United States, how they get the money to fund, how they get their profit, how they do this. Pentagon unveils an AI blueprint for the U.S. as the global fears over high-tech threats rise. The Pentagon has requested $1.4 billion, that's a bravo, with a B, for AI for fiscal year 2024, and current funding levels are sustained through a continuing resolution through mid-November. Pentagon has unveiled a comprehensive new blueprint to steer its implementation of advanced data analytics and artificial intelligence. This strategy underscores a thrust for increased funding in AI-driven technologies, sophisticated algorithmic analysis, and the development of autonomous systems such as unmanned aerial vehicles. I guess the ones that they have to destroy in flight. I guess that's the thrust that they had to terminate. They're trying to get through the technology of digital gulag world, because that's what this is going to be applied to. The latest framework, an evolved iteration of the initial strategy conceived in 2018, reflects the Department of Defense's forethoughts on AI's transformative potential across various industries and its implication for national defense. It's transformative, folks. It's just so sustainable. This revised document incorporates the considerable expansion of AI within the defense sector, as highlighted by the Department of Defense Chief Digital and AI Officer Craig Martell. So that sounds like a promotional to Congress, doesn't it? When you read it, when you read that through, it just sounds like all they're looking for is just to get, show me the money. Now listen here to the next part, and I hope my listener has a sustainable thinking cap on and has already identified the horrifying lingo as well as the continuity of government notebook candy that I've read in all this. And they just, the agenda just keeps pushing, and they know what they're doing. They're being really straight and on their as an arrow on what they're intending to do. The Pentagon has also elaborated on its approach to AI governance by creating the Chief Digital and Artificial Intelligence Office in 2021, consolidating such entities as the Joint Artificial Intelligence Center, the Defense Digital Service, and Advana Data Platform, and the position of the Chief Data Officer. Now remember, this digital finger is on the cherry red nuclear button, folks. Remember what I've shown, that AI is AI error prone. That's A-I-R-R-O-R prone. It makes errors. We talked about the numbers. It's terrible how bad this stuff is. And that the AI horror doesn't end because the AI horror sounds a lot like AI error, doesn't it? So as we read this next part, the military's use of generative AI is controversial, particularly for its potential for streamlining tasks and its possible misuse in cyber attacks and misinformation. Deputy Secretary of Defense Kathleen Hicks has asserted that the humans will maintain control over decisions involving lethal force and nuclear weapons despite AI integration, as affirmed by the Pentagon's recent nuclear weapons review. Deputy Secretary Hicks recognizes the potential risks of AI and is committed to minimizing them. Now, let us toss salad here. Let us consider something. That's right. Toss salad inquiry. Let us consider that AI is already known to hack itself, And cyber engineers and technicians have already admitted they don't know how AI does what it does in this little black box. Let us toss in further the animal reviewing the AI, the animal here, the human, the animal reviewing the AI output disagrees. Let us toss moreover that the human will be inputting its denial back into the AI governance digital system. Question. Does the human know what response was sent out that the AI has control over? Answer. The human hasn't a clue. The human animal's terminal shows their message to command, not the one intercepted by AI, interpreted, then stealthily modified, with the order confirming the AI analysis is correct and sent to command instead. Further question. So how will Deputy Secretary Hicks minimize potential risk posed by error? A-I-R-R-O-R prone tools, the digital finger of which just decided to push the cherry red digital button on the lettuce toss in, say, Russia. Remember that little finger we talked to the little kid earlier in the picture? Well, folks, the answer to this is she can't. She can't possibly know what this is going on with this to minimize a darn thing. That's not good, folks. Not good at all. I hope you feel the pressure of this one, what these lunatics are doing. $1.4 billion to perform military-industrial complex stupid human tricks. And what's the follow-on phrase for that, folks? Play stupid games, win stupid prizes. Are we ready for that as a global society? You want to have world citizens? Russia's not messing around. The United States is, and what they want to do, the Pentagon certainly is, they like to play games all over the place. Pentagon is the existential threat here, folks. The same U.S. government organization that attacked you with a bioweapon at warp speed. You see how that all plays together? I hope so. There's a lot more to read and understand about AI governance that is touched in this article, which I highly recommend because you need to familiarize yourself with as this digital offer that the government sends, the businesses will begin to be made to you for your accepting of them and is promoted for us, and despite the myriad warnings of irreparable harm that they can come up with. And we see here just a quick little rigorous intellectualism. If they don't know what that AI is, how it's doing what it's doing, they cannot possibly limit risks. There's just no way. There's no way. And we can buy into that, but we're setting up the world for an accidental, on purpose, oops, destruction of some sort. And that's going to be, if it's not nuclear, it ends up being just about anywhere. When we see the killer robot of a man who tries to replace, it identifies him as a vegetable. He probably was, not thinking too good. He wasn't maybe a vegetable. It treated him like a vegetable, and it killed him. It crushed him, because it's the machine's not made to understand that. And so that happens. But companies will come in and try to figure out how to make it safer, right? Well, we're talking nuclear weapons. We're talking war. We're talking economic wars. We're talking about societies being destroyed. And don't look to that society for any answer if Kobe Swindle acceptance isn't a clue, folks. The numbers of people willingly accepting that fraud, 80% now, is about equal to that referenced in the following article coming up here. The offer of a digital system governance is largely readily accepted by people. The largest evidence coming from Russia, which now appears to be avant-garde, as I've said earlier in the broadcast, the digital world application of all this, how this is being imposed. And notice the picture introducing the article is of some offer of a cell phone. And that's another hint. I guess that's the Apple that a woman offered, if you look, and that we may partake of the forbidden fruit and realize that this has all happened. This digital transformation acceptance by people has occurred in a few scant years, accelerated by the Kobe Swindle, the cashless society that we've been warned against, and for reasons becoming more and more obvious, I hope, unless one is just too blind to see or without ears to hear. As we can continue to read, the share of non-cash payments in Russia has hit 80%. The country has been among the fastest in the world in the move away from cash. Quote, the share of non-cash payments is like a barometer for assessment of maturity of state financial system, Nabiulina said at the International Russian Expo, which kicked off in Moscow earlier in the day. So, International Expo, folks, how festive, don't you think? Real big promotion here. Notice, though, that the non-cash use is a measure of the maturity of the state financial system of total control, not the maturity of the token citizen. And I will extend a notice to the Orthodox Christians in Russia, or anywhere else for that matter, because acceptance is not limited to Russia by any means. Your church is not protecting you from this global evil. And I believe my listener needs to put some thought here to this and effect a proper action to avoid it. This is not a joke, what they're doing and what they're pulling off, and the faithful are not being protected by the institutions of the state. Again, if you talk out against these in the future, it'll be extremism to the max, and your social credit will be destroyed by it. This is what the human animal does to itself. And we have a little story here, changing a little bit of gears. The proper application for a rat might be, though, to escape all this, is to teleport, because it appears rats possess teleportation skills, but in VR, research finds. New research has shown that rats with their hippocampus-driven imagination can advance cognitive science by aiding 3D thinking exercises, which has implications for our understanding of the memory and the development of technologies based in neural signals. Rats have demonstrated the ability to manipulate objects within digital environment using their brain activity akin to telekinetic abilities seen in science fiction. Instead of mystical powers, these rats use the power of their imagination. The rats are trained to navigate a 3D virtual environment on a spherical treadmill. The neural activity of their hippocampus, crucial for processing spatial information, was recorded via electrodes. By employing patterns of brain activity from the hippocampus, the rodents learn to reposition a virtual cube onto a helical structure. When the rats managed to do this correctly, they were rewarded with water. This particular study had the virtual landscape controlled by the brain waves of the rats, rendering their treadmill activities irrelevant. The researchers trained rats intensively, and they learned how to keep the cube in the right position. This skill showed that they were able to use their memory center, the hippocampus, to trigger specific patterns of brain cell activity. Impressively, the rats could even appear to teleport to different locations in a virtual world, highlighting their imaginative capabilities. But what do humans do? The human animal doesn't do that much fun, have that much fun. But along the lines of an amusement ride you're just riding in, apparently there is no, will be, and is no right to drive for less either. General Motors driverless car unit Cruise said late Thursday it will suspend all operations nationwide after California regulators this week ordered the robo-taxi operator to remove its driverless cars from state roads. California's Department of Motor Vehicles, not keen on teleportation either, it seems, on Tuesday said Cruise driverless vehicles were a risk to the public and that the company had misrepresented the technology's safety. Remember, these are AI as well. So this sort of Cruise sounds more like a definition of an assault weapon, don't you think? Maybe the rats are onto something, folks. As I hope something I said today will give you some information that you can start looking at the world in maybe a different way. Assert yourself. Resist actively, folks. They're waiting for you to not act at all. And something I said will help you in the future. And remember, again, I'll try to keep you informed on where the BTW will be playing. Hopefully it will stay at Real Liberty Media. That will resolve the problems on the website, and we will be able to continue there. Otherwise, I'll try to tell people where to go. Not that way, but you'll be able to get information from the broadcast, hopefully in the future. I'll be with you next week. Tech Diffs, for nature willing.
That's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.